Invite you to take your Bibles now, please, and turn to Isaiah, the 9th chapter division. We'll be looking at verses 6 and 7, Isaiah chapter 9. When will there ever be peace on earth? Will there ever be peace on earth? Well, according to the Bible, there will be someday real peace all over this globe. Spoke of that, I believe, in these verses, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. That's amazing, isn't it? The whole Christmas story. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, these verses remind us of a king coming someday and his kingdom, and that being a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of bliss. We sing songs at Christmas, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her what? King. Because that's part of the Christmas story. The earth someday is going to receive her king. Daniel, the prophet, in the 2nd chapter division, verse 44, said this, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's a beautiful truth. Which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it, this kingdom, shall stand forever. That's a promise of the Word of God through the prophet Daniel. Now, when we think of the kingdom of God, what do we think of? I think probably about three different things. And there are three aspects of it that the Bible points out. The first stage of it, let's say, is when Jesus comes into our heart and He is the king of your life. When you get saved, He's supposed to be the boss. Amen. He's supposed to call the shots. He's supposed to be the King of Kings to us who are saved today. And He lives in our heart. He rules and He reigns in our lives from the time that we experience the new birth forward. And therefore, He has a kingdom. And that kingdom is in the hearts of all people all over the world who are born again believers. But then there's a second part of that, and that is the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule on the earth for 1,000 years. And He is literally Himself going to sit on the throne of King David in the city of Jerusalem and rule the millennial kingdom on the planet earth. It's going to happen. He should have rule in our lives now. He is going to have that then. And this is the main thing we're talking about today. And then thirdly, there will be that eternal sphere when all of that comes to an end and we are with Christ forever and ever in eternity. And He will be the ruler and king of all of that kingdom. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 1:33 says, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. Good news. And that's part of the Christmas story. Now let's think about three or four things in relationship to this kingdom. Number one, the prophecy of the kingdom. It was prophesied. And there are two streams of prophecy about His kingdom and about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. One of those is the prophecy about His birth. Thank God that was prophesied. And it happened just like it was said, and it happened where it was supposed to. In Bethlehem, and all of those things were prophesied. And so you have the prophecy of the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the suffering of Christ, and the death, burial, and thank God, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that was prophesied concerning Jesus Christ. But then there was another strain of prophecy that presented him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of these prophecies have been fulfilled about the Lord Jesus Christ and his first coming, and all about the second coming as he comes as a prophet and the king and the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is going to be carried out. Now in the text, in our text in Isaiah, 740 years before it happened, it was prophesied that it was going to take place. Isn't God good? God knows everything. And God had a plan before the foundation of the world. Hundreds of prophecies fulfilled about the first coming of Christ. There are hundreds of prophecies about Christ returning someday as king. And it's going to take place. Let me go, if you would follow with me, and you may want to turn there to Luke chapter 1 for just a second, and look at some of the things that Luke talked about in relationship to this. Luke chapter 1. And we'll look primarily at the shalls in this and see that these are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 31. And this is where the message was given to Mary. And verse 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." You shall bring forth a son, "and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now go back to verse 31 and look at the promise. Thou shalt, or you shall, conceive in thy womb. She did, amen? Just like the Bible said. And bring forth a son, and she did. And that was the incarnation, Jesus in the flesh. "And shall call his name Jesus." And that's what they named him. "He shall be great." And he was great. Everybody realized the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry on the earth. "And he shall be called the Son of the Highest." And he was. "And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." That hadn't happened yet, has it? It hadn't happened yet. But bless your heart, it's going to happen. The same shalls that were fulfilled in the other part are going to be fulfilled here. "And he shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That hadn't all happened yet, but it's going to happen. Just like the Bible says, it's going to happen. We pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, "Thy kingdom come." A kingdom has to have a king. And what we're saying is, you're the king and we're waiting for you to come. So there are many prophecies that spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingly authority. But then there's the postponement of the kingdom. It could have happened years ago, but it did not happen. There was a postponement of the kingdom. You see, the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. His very own people wouldn't have anything to do with him by and large. He could have perhaps at that point set up his kingdom. I know that could be debated, but there seems to be some very strong evidence that that could have taken place. But the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, right now is still waiting on the Messiah. You see, they missed who he was. They missed the prophecies about his suffering. And they're still looking for, they're looking for the Messiah like we're looking for the Messiah, only in a different way. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. And guess what's going to happen to them? Sad to say that when the false Messiah comes, when Antichrist comes, as a nation, they're going to receive Antichrist as the Christ, as the Messiah. And they're going to make a covenant with him for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They're going to live in a pseudo-peace, and they're going to think this is the Messiah until Antichrist goes in the temple and demands to be worshipped. And then all hell will break loose on the face of this earth. They rejected him, and they're still waiting on him. but they're going to accept the wrong one. Zechariah 12:10, the prophet said, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." A prophecy about the fact that they're going to look for the Messiah, and God is good to tell us that one day they're going to believe. But first they're going to reject, because they're going to believe in Antichrist. Romans 11:26. Good news for the Jews, and also all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What a great day that's going to be when the blinders are taken off, and the Jewish people as a race of people will recognize and realize who the Messiah is at that point in time. The Jews right now, thank God, can be saved individually. We have missionaries to the Jews. We believe in witnessing to the Jews. We have no hatred or animosity toward the Jews. We are not anti-Semitic. An individual Jew can be saved right now, and we need to carry the gospel to them first, to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. But one of these days, nationally, they're going to be saved. They're going to realize the one they rejected is really the Messiah. Through a miracle of Almighty God's grace, it's going to take place. Acts 1:6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? The disciples said, Is this the time? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" And the Bible says that he gave them his answer and told them that the times are for him to know. But we flip on over and we go to the back of the book. And we find something in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, beginning around verse 11. And the Bible says the heavens are opened. And there's someone who mounts a white horse. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Faithful and True. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says his vesture is dipped in blood, and on his vesture are these words, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ, who's coming again someday. No, that wasn't the time to set up the kingdom, but the time is spoken of in Revelation 19. And all you and I are supposed to do is wait on the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, and we're to occupy till he comes, do everything we can to serve him, and then a period of time will pass, and then he'll come back. Thank God he'll mount that white steed and let the whole world know he is King of Kings. And he'll bring peace on the earth. So what's the program of the king when he returns? Well, sometimes it seems like there's a contradiction about the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, the Bible says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." Now listen to the language. "Even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Now there in 1 Thessalonians, he says he's coming with all his saints. But in chapter 4, he says something differently. In verses 16 through 17, in this chapter, in fact, verses 13 all the way through the end, but he reminds us, especially in these verses, listen at them, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." He's coming after us. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. So shall we ever be with the Lord." So in one place it says he's coming for us. In another place it says he's coming with us. It seems to be a contradiction. But as you know, there are no contradictions in the Bible. And so Zechariah says in chapter 14 on one occasion that Jesus is going to come again. His feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives, and the mountain is going to split in two, and the mountains are going to be leveled. And the Bible speaks of that when Christ comes back with all of his saints. But then in Thessalonians, he says we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, the Jews, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In other words, the whole world is going to recognize and realize it in a special way. And then in Revelation 16:15, it seems like a contradiction. Behold, I come as a thief. Not everybody seeing me. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. That seems to be a contradiction, but it isn't. What's the answer? Christ coming is in two phases, and we believe that. That's what our church teaches. We are pre-millennial. We are pre-tribulation. We believe what the Bible teaches about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, Christ, thank God, is going to come for his saints. What a glorious day that's going to be. We who are alive when he comes, if he were to come today, you and I that are living right now, that are saved, would be translated, would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ would be raised. He will come for his saints. Glorious thought, glorious day that he's going to come for his saints. After that, a tribulation period on the earth. And up there in heaven, we'll have the judgment seat of Christ for how well we've lived as Christians and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then when that's over, after that 7-year period of time and the Jews are being persecuted on earth and all of that is going on, and finally the Lord Jesus Christ is going to wind it up, and he then comes with his saints. First we go up to be with him, and then as he comes to claim this earth, we come back with him. So we have the rapture and we have what we would call the revelation. Thank God for that truth. The prophecy of it, the postponement of it, the program of it. Christ has plans for his kingdom. One of the greatest things about it is the devil is going to be imprisoned. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The devil is going to be imprisoned. In Revelation chapter 20, we don't have time to read all of these verses. But the Bible tells us in those first three verses of that 21st chapter division that an angel is going to come with the keys. And the angel is going to take a chain and bind the devil and cast him into the pit for 1,000 years. And after that, he'll be loose for a little season, and there's a reason for that. But thank God, one of these days, when Christ comes back, he's going to put the devil out of commission for 1,000 years, and that'll solve all of the world's problems for 1,000 years, because the devil will be put out of commission. By the way, he is our enemy today. You know that. He's the one we're to dislike. He's the one behind all the bad and all the horrible things that are in our society. Satan is the enemy, but thank God the enemy is going to be incarcerated. And he's not going to have that power. And then Christ's kingdom will come on the earth. And all of those Christmas cards that have peace and joy and goodwill to all men, thank God that's going to happen. They didn't get it wrong. They've got it right. And he's going to return. And that's what he's talking about in our text verses. And he talks about the fact that a child is born and a son is given and the government will be up on his shoulder. He'll be called Wonderful Counsel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And he'll sit on the throne of David. Amen. That is the prophecy of the Word of God. Now, we have all kinds of peace treaties being made. Every time, and I know we try, and I know they try, and all of that, but every time I see the president get out, they give him a new pen every time he signs, you know, and he signs his name and all of that on these peace treaties. I just think, that's not going to do it. Go ahead and try, and I appreciate him trying, and we ought to try and do everything we can, I guess, but that's not going to do it. The United Nations has failed and will fail. You name any organization, whatever it may be, and there are all kinds of organizations. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Oprah's not going to bring peace into the kingdom either. Nobody else. All of those things, listen, it's not going to happen until Jesus comes again. We'll do what we can, try to sustain any kind of peace that we have, but as long as there's one spat going on the face of the earth, we can't say there's peace on earth, goodwill to all men. And there always will be until the King of Kings returns. But now you can have real peace in your heart before that. Did you know that? If you're saved today, you ought to have peace in your heart. Peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, not by your works, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God today? You say, what do you mean? I mean, no, you know you're going to heaven? Do you know everything's all right between you and God? You must have peace with God, and that's only to come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to have peace with God. You can't have it any other way. It's not baptismal regeneration. It's not infant baptism. It's not joining the church. It isn't your good deeds. It isn't your works of righteousness. But it's peace through Jesus Christ alone. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. That's the only way you're going to have peace. And as a Christian, the only way you're going to have peace is knowing you're saved and you're living right for God. You're not going to have peace if you're not living right for God. You can have peace in the justification area, but not have peace with the Lord in your life because you're not living right. There's nothing like being saved and being in God's will. There's no greater peace that anybody can have. None greater than that. R.A. Torrey was talking to a man one time, and he said, he was witnessing to him. The man said, I don't need religion. I have everything I need without it. And R.A. Torrey said, you don't have peace. The man said, well, I really don't. How did you know that? R.A. Torrey quoted him Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You see, if you're not saved and born again, you don't have any peace. Oh, I meet people and you knock on doors and ring doorbells and you talk to them and they're cocky and arrogant and they act like they've got the world by the tail and they've got all the answers, friend, but deep down in their heart they don't have peace. You know how we know? The Bible says, the Lord says, there is no peace to the wicked, not until we come to Christ and get born again. One of these days Christ is going to come and return. Micah talked about it in chapter 4 and verse 3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. That's Jesus. And they shall beat their swords. Listen to this. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Hallelujah for that day. Now we are concerned about what the Muslims are going to do to our nation ever since 9/11. And I'm telling you, friend, I have not forgotten 9/11. I don't know about you. And the same people behind that are still, they'd love to wipe the Jews off of the face of the earth, and they'd love to destroy everybody that claims the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think otherwise because they present them differently and package it differently, you're dead wrong. They hate us. And they have no place for Jesus Christ other than say he was a good prophet. And that's about it. But one of these days, we don't have to worry about them again. No more 9-1-1s. No more nuclear threat. We don't have to worry about Russia. And if you think Russia, just because some things changed a while back, the Soviet Union, that Russia's out of business, you're wrong. Russia and Iraq and Iran are all going to get together one of these days with Turkey and those, and they're going to go down and try to push the Jews right into the ocean, but the Mediterranean. But you know what? God's going to take care of that too. And then Jesus is going to come, and we won't have to have swords and all. We'll be doing other things, and there will be righteousness. I'll tell you, I get so tired of the filth and the dirt and the garbage and all the sewage that comes through television and all of the things in our society today, the brashness of people. People over in Dallas in a home in a residential area having a strip place and a place where they come in and have sex, and they call it just a party house and all of that, and they're so brash and so braggadocious about it, fighting the city council, going to sue the people because of it. Brother, one of these days they won't do it. If they dare even think of it, God, Jesus Christ will take that rod and knock them down. Amen? Amen. He's not going to allow that. There'll be righteousness. There will be finally justice. We always say, well, I wish there was justice in this world. Well, we do wish there was, and there's not justice. Many times there's injustice, but one of these days there's going to be perfect justice. Righteousness. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good. Inequity. Things are all not always equitable today, but they will be in that day. What a glorious, glorious depiction of what it's going to be like. And Jesus will have authority and power. Now, when he came as a little baby, they didn't even have room for him in the inn. And he had to flee to keep from getting killed into Egypt, as prophecy said he would, and come back. And he was unpopular and unwanted. Only a few got saved, but they finally so detested Jesus Christ that they crucified him. But one day he's going to come back as King of Kings. And the next time there will be room for him in the inn. There'll be room for him on the throne of David, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the earth there in Jerusalem. It's going to happen. There'll also be some physical changes that take place in the millennial kingdom when he's ruling and reigning. He'll rule with a rod of iron, and I'd like to see somebody in the millennium try to start a rock band, wouldn't you? Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. He'll say, no, that mess here. Now you see, there are going to be depraved people in the millennium. You'll have to understand that. That's a different message. But he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to take care of it. But there'll be some physical changes. The curse on the earth will be lifted. Do you know it's going to be like Eden was? What Adam lost, the second Adam regained for us. And it's going to be like Eden. Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It sounds pretty good to me. The Lord's going to take care of that. The curse is going to be lifted. It's going to be lifted on the animal kingdom. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. And the Bible says a child will pick up an asp or a scorpion, and it'll be a pet. That's going to take faith, but it'll be the glorified body, amen? And the Bible says a child will lead them. Maybe a child will say, here, have you seen my lion? Where's my lion? Let me get it. And walk around with it like it was a little docile pet, amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be some physical changes in that millennial reign. Man will live, if you can believe it, 1,000 years. It's possible that man will live in that kingdom, that beautiful kingdom, 1,000 years. You know, years ago they lived a long time, didn't they? Methuselah lived a long time. That was because there was a water vapor and canopy over all of us, and the sun rays didn't get through. That's when they had all of the different great big huge animals that the dinosaurs and everything, I believe back then, I believe they did live. But then came the flood, and that changed all of that. Now the biggest dinosaur you see is that lizard that you women are scared of running around your house somewhere out back. Some of those things. Maybe they're a little bigger in Africa. But there'll be some physical changes that'll take place. Isaiah says, there shall, in 65:20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And he's talking about that particular time. We don't have time to develop that and to go into that, but let me just simply say, one of these days we're going to see the golden age. When we talk about Christmas, there will be peace on earth. The King of Kings, behold your King. Look at the little baby. And they're absolutely right. He is the King of Kings. That little baby that was born in Bethlehem's manger is the King of Kings. He grew up. He lived a perfect life. He died. He was buried. He fulfilled prophet. And then now he's priest. He's intervening for us. But there's one more office. What is it? Prophet, priest, and king. And he's going to come back as the king in the golden age. It'll be this phase, and he'll rule, and then we'll all be thrust into what we know as absolute eternity to be with him. Now here's the thing, the rapture is imminent. It's imminent. It could happen at any time. That first phase of Christ's return, when he comes for his saints, could happen at any time. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord if he comes today? There's not a thing in the world that has to take place before he comes. He can come any moment for his saints, for the bride of Christ. Are you ready? Christian, are you ready? Are you yielded, surrendered? Are you being conformed to the world, or being transformed by the daily renewing of your mind? Romans 12:1-2. Where are you as a Christian? Are you ready? If he should come again today, the King of Kings coming for us to bring us back. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's the first phase. I ask you, believer, are you ready? And obviously, if you're not a believer, you've never trusted Christ, friend, you're not ready. And we hope you'll get ready today. Let's stand, please. Let's bow our heads. I will give the appeal and have prayer. We invite you to come. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, if you're not ready, you don't have that peace. See, he's the Prince of Peace. Let him come in today. Let him become the king and become the ruler of the kingdom of your heart right now. Trust him as your Savior. And then as a believer, is he the king and Lord of your life? Is he in charge? Are you living for him? Are you looking for him to come at any moment and living like it? Not if there's sin in your life. And I tell you, you can be saved and have no peace unless you're living for Jesus like you should. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to do business with you today. Oh God, I pray if there's someone in this building, someone that's listening to my voice right now, I pray, dear God, that they would come to the Prince of Peace. That they'd come to Jesus and receive him into their heart. That they might become part of the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God, of you. Speak to their hearts and Lord, pull away all the blinders and get rid of all of the pride. And God, just arrest their attention and their spirits and draw them to Jesus today. Help us as believers to be ready for Christ, knowing that someday he's coming and we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Will you come as God speaks to you?